Gemara Rabbi Sai, our limud of Sefer Chavetz Chaim, as every day is the schus refuah of Yosef Dov Ben Chayla, Hishtav Refuah Shlema, Bekorov. B'sor Shal Chayli Yisrael. So this heter of apet losso, right? The good news is there is a heter of apet losso. There's something that's said in front of three people we assume is public knowledge, and therefore it's not also to tell it further. That's the good news. The bad news is that the Chofetz Chaim says that if you remember, we learned this in Hilchos Lashon Hara, we're now in Rechilus. And the bad news is that, unfortunately, there are so many conditions attached to it that he says, don't rely on it. That's basically what this sif is going to say. Yeshayahu Mimi says that if somebody told Gunus al Chaveroi, sue in front of three people, there's no more rechilus, I can go. Let's say I heard Reuven speaking about Shimon. I can go back to Shimon and I can say to Shimon, Reuven was talking about you, but there were three people there. So about those three people there, the assumption is that Shimon's going to hear about it anyway. One of those three, at least, and of course Kol Shekein, if there are many more people, is going to tell Shimon. The word's going to get back to Shimon that Reuven was speaking about him in front of other people, and therefore the assumption is it's going to get back to him, and therefore it's public knowledge anyway. And that will obviously help us, the Choyra, for all the information that we get over the phone, all the information that we get over the emails, all the information that's spread out everywhere. Yeah, once it's public knowledge, it shouldn't be awesome. A tamu, because he's going to find out anyway, and one person reveals to another, and the Torah, in that case, did not ask for Mishur Mechilos. But he says, remember that we learned Klal Beis. We're now in Klal Beis in Hilchos Rechilos. Says the Chofetz Chaim, remember Klal Beis that we learned in Hilchos Lashon Hara, where we went through exactly the same procedure. Now, Loshna is stum speaking bad about somebody. Rechilus is where it's going to cause animosity. And he said, "I will ain lismech al deis ulamasa." He says there are some Rishonim hold that the pshat in the Gemara is completely different, and therefore he says that the zicha yeshal mi lismech if you want to usher it. That's what he says. So he gives an example. He says, for instance, you've got two shutfim. They've been partners in business for a long time. This is the Chofetz Chaim's own example. They've been partners, and partner A is fed up with partner B. And he's thinking to himself, I think maybe I should leave this partnership and I should find myself another business partner. Or he'll say, I'll stay with this one, but the next venture that I'm going to go into, I'm going to go into the next partnership with someone else. Another example is brought in one of the books. Says you've got two families that go on holiday every year together. Year after year, they always go together. Family Reuven and family Shimon go on holiday year after year. And one year, family Reuven thinks to himself, you know what, maybe we'll make a change this year. Maybe we'll go away on our own, or we'll go away with family Levi. So he starts making inquiries, and he's negotiating with Levi. And again, the same thing with the partnership. He starts making inquiries, he's looking for another, and his partner knows nothing about this. It's all happening behind I was just thinking, you know, it wouldn't be a good example if somebody's fed up with his partner, as in marriage. And he's looking around for someone else, and he's thinking, if I find somebody better, then I'll get rid of this one and move on to the next one. Yeah, but the idea is, the concept is exactly the same. In the end, he decides, I'll stick. Right, the Gemara. The Torah tells you stick. Yeah, what's the posuk? There's a posuk there. Stick with the lady that you. What's the? I can't remember the lashon of the posuk. Yeah, you should stick with the lady that you married when you were young. Yeah, there's a posuk along those lines. I'll tell you the posuk tomorrow. In other words, be happy with what you've got. In the end, he decides. Yeah, he's looked around for someone else. He didn't find anyone else. He didn't find another partner, or he didn't find a suitable holiday to go on with somebody else. Huh? Something Aishas or Smach be Aishas Nurech or something like that, you're right. Yeah? I think it's Koheles. Shir Hashirim or Koheles, and something about Aishas Nurech. But the message is, yeah, that stick with the one that you married first time round. So, In the end, he decides he's not going to go ahead with the other partnership. He's going to stay married to his first wife. He's going to go on holiday with the same people and everything. Now, if I know that he was looking, and his partner doesn't know that he was looking, am I allowed to tell the partner, do you know that your husband was looking was looking for an alternative wife? Or do you know that your family was looking to go on holiday with somebody else instead of going this year on holiday with the same people every year? Do you know that your partner was looking for an alternative partner for his next project? Yeah. Obviously, that, says the Chofetz Chaim, that is pure rechilus. Why? Because it's going to, and the Chofetz Chaim says, despite all the answers that he's going to give and all the excuses that he's going to give, it ain't never going to be the same between them. The two partners are never going to get on as well as they got on previously, because partner number one knows that partner number two was looking elsewhere. Yeah, and if the husband knows that his wife was looking elsewhere, or the wife knows that the husband was looking elsewhere, or the two holiday partners know, once you hear about it, says the Chofetz Chaim, that's a perfect example of a situation where that's pure achilos, is going to cause animosity. In most cases, there's no advantage in it, apart from being Lashon Hara. There's no advantage in knowing. There's no tachlis why I need to know that. And therefore, says the Chofetz Chaim, those would be examples of when you're not allowed to speak Lashon Hara, and in fact that would be achilos, because it would cause animosity.
Start your day at Turway, Northwest London, Friday, Zion Cheshbon, 8th of November, Rabbi Mordechai Weiss, Shlita, the new type of Betochen. This week's Torah will sponsor the special training for Lachini, Yeshua Eretz Yisrael, Bishop, HaShavur, Ma'achayalim, Ma'achamah, Shachsul, Vatayim, Nishalom, Bim, Hirro.
Good morning, everyone. First of all, as usual, I'd like to thank the organizers for giving me the opportunity and the honor of being part of the wonderful Start Your Day the Torah Way. And Hashem should help, should be able to continue doing this for many, many years. Just an interesting point to note, that this is my fourth time speaking on Parashas Lech Lecho here in the Start of the Torah Way. So I'm not sure what the message of that is, but it gets a little bit tricky every single time I have to find another message in Parashas Lech Lecho. We'll try our best. Sorry? Yeah. All right. Believe me, Parashas Lech Lecho has enough to come every single year to come back in Parashas Lech Lecho. There's enough to say. Parashas Lech Lecho starts off, the Rebbeinu Shloilem tells Avraham Avinu, Lech lecho ma'artzecho, you shall go out of your land, meladcho mevaisavichu, and Rashi says, what's lech lecho? You should go to yourself. What does that mean, you should go to yourself? You should go away. What's going to yourself? So the famous Rashi says, lehanu oscho, ele tevoscho, I'm telling you, if you're going to do this, you're going to benefit from it, it's going to be for your own benefit, that's why it's lech lecho, you're going for yourself, you're not just doing it for me. And the famous kasha is that we know that we do not do mitzvahs for our own benefit. Yeah, the famous the Mishnah says, "Al tihi kavodim hamishamshin esurav amenos lekabel pras." You should not do mitzvahs just entirely for your own sake. Mitzvahs should be done for the Rebbeinu Shloim's sake. So why is the Rebbeinu Shloim telling him, "Do this for your own sake; you're going to benefit"? And I think the kasha is even more than that, because the amount of things the Rebbeinu Shloim promised of Avraham Avinu in this Lech Lecho is something enormous. He basically promised them, it's almost like someone comes into a tzaddik and he tells him, someone who never has no children, has no money, and the tzaddik says, you know, if you move to Los Angeles, a place where no one knows you, you'll be zoiche, first of all, you'll be zoiche to children, but not stamp children, you're going to be zoiche to children, elderly children, you're going to be zoiche to astronomical wealth, you're going to become extremely wealthy, you're going to be zeicher to be world famous, you're going to become a huge tzaddik. Whenever people are going to stand in the lines outside to receive brachos from you, you're going to be zeicher to health, to long life, to everything. Is that why does he get so much we find mitzvahs, we find the Torah promises schar. But so much schar, for one mitzvah, so much schar, b'zoche to bonne, to children, to chaye, to long life, to mezoine, to wealth, v'gadlash v'meichu, you become world famous, v'hiyai berucha, people are going to come to ask you for bruchas. Why? So many things, why, for one mitzvah, for one little mitzvah, it seems to be a very little mitzvah for so much schar. You know, usually the schar has to be in, you know, it has to be... Yeah, it has to be leveled, and it's just, it seems completely not proportionate. There's a famous Ramban, and the Ramban says that all the ten nisyonos that happened to Avraham Avinu, ma'ase uves siman labunim. It's not just something which happened to Avraham Avinu, this is something which is relevant to every single yid and every single generation. And to a certain extent, we all go through these stages of the ten nisyonos, and there's something we have to take out and we have to follow Avraham Avinu's footsteps, and we have to introduce it into our lives. What is the message of Lech Lechu that we could apply to our own lives and do the mass over similar guna? So I'd like to share with you part of it. The start of it is the famous Ramban, which we already mentioned twice, I think, here in the Torah way, but I want to take it a step further. The Ramban says as follows. The Ramban says, what did the Rebbeinu Shloim want with the Lech Lechu Ma'atzehu? What did he want? What was the purpose of this whole thing? Of sending him away from his homeland to a different country? Rebbeinu Shlom doesn't just tell people to do things if there has no meaning to it. There must have been some meaning to sending Avraham Avinu away from his country. Zog der Rabban amoyer di gesagt. Rabban says that Avraham Avinu had one thing in mind. He had one sheif, he had one purpose in mind, and that is to create a Kiddush Hashem, to be mar bekvot shemayim, to tell everyone and teach everyone that there is a Rebbeinu Shloim who runs the world. That was Avraham Avinu's entire everything. That's all he wanted. He wanted us to teach people. And the Gemara says, Vayita Aishel. He planted Aishel. The Gemara says he planted a guest house, a hotel. He built a hotel. And people used to come there, used to give them to eat and to sleep for free of charge. And then when they used to leave, they thanked Avraham Avinu for his hospitality, and Avraham Avinu said, "Don't thank me, it has nothing to do with me, it's all from the Rebbeinu Shloim. He is the one who gives us food, he's the one who sustains us, he's the one who gives us a place to sleep. Thank the Rebbeinu Shloim." That was one thing he had in mind, was to teach the entire world that there is a creator, that there is a Rebbeinu Shloim. Took the Heidegger and bound. Avraham Avinu was in a place called Ir Kastim. That's the place where he came from. And Ir Kastim, the place where he was at the time, they did not appreciate him. They did not appreciate him, and they didn't respect him, and therefore they didn't listen to his message, to the point that they even threw him into a fire because they didn't believe him. Rebbeinu Shloim says, in a place where people do not respect you, then it's going to be very difficult for you to get your message out. Therefore, I'm going to send you to Eretz Canaan. There people are going to start respecting you, and they're going to be willing to listen to your message, and there you're going to be able to fulfill your purpose of your life, which is to create a Kiddush Hashem. So the Rebbeinu Shloim told him, Lech Lechu Ma'atzecha, go away from this country you now. This is no good for you. Alech Lechu El Uretz Asher Arecha. Zog the Ramban, that the Rebbeinu Shloim especially did not tell Avraham Avinu, I'm not telling you where to go. Why didn't he tell him where to go? Because he wanted Avraham Avinu to have to go around from country to country, from place to place, that wherever he should be, he should create a Kiddush Hashem. That's what he wanted. So he especially didn't tell him where he should go, because he didn't want him to go straight to his destination. He wanted him to first go from this place to that place, so that wherever he goes, he could create a Kiddush Hashem, and he could share his message with the masses. And that's why the Pusik in the end finishes off, V'yiven shom esbayach v'yikru b'shayim Hashem. Finally, when it came to a place where people appreciated him and they listened to him, then he built a mezbayach, and he called out, everyone should know v'yikru shom b'shayim Hashem. Hashem, he called out in Hashem's name. That's part one, which this thing is what the Ramban says, that this is a Ma'aseh Uves Siman Labunim, that every single individual has to remember this thing in life, that we are created for the purpose of creating a Kiddush Hashem. Now, Rabbi Yisrael, I want to take this a step further. There's a Duva Nifla that the Heilige Chasam Sofer says, and the Chasam Sofer says as follows. The Chasam Sofer says there's two types of ways a person could be a Mekadosh Shem Shemayim, could create a Kiddush Hashem. The one is a simple way that we already spoke about in the past, which is simply by the way we act, the way we speak, the way we talk, the way people see us, we create a Kiddush Hashem. That's one way of creating a Kiddush Hashem. Look, the Chasam Sofer, there is a second way of creating a Kiddush Hashem, and that is that we constantly mention Hashem's name. We live constantly with Hashem. and we it's called Shem Shemaim Shugir Al Piv. We constantly mention Hashem's name. Everything we do it with Hashem's help. Hashem should help that we should be successful. Hashem should help that we should be able to do this. And that we constantly thank Hashem. We live with Hashem on a constant basis. And then, when the person, for example, is waiting for salvation, and he lives with Emunah Betochen, and whoever he could talk to, he talks about Emunah Betochen. Then when Hashem finally sends him his Yeshua, he sends him his salvation, that creates a tremendous Kiddush Hashem, because people see the cause and effect. This is what happens. Someone who lives with Emunah Betochen, he lives with the Ribbono Shel Olam, Ribbono Shel Olam helps him. And that creates an enormous, enormous Kiddush Hashem. Zug dechas m'sofa dovan ifle. Rashi, the Pusik says that V'yaylech l'masuah, says Rashi later on in the parasha, Avraham Avinu, when he left Paroi, he went back to stay in the same places where he stayed on the way there. Why? So simply Rashi says he went to pay back his debt. He stayed in hotels on the way there, on the way to Mitzrayim, and he didn't have money to pay them. And then he had to go back to pay back, so that's why especially went to the same hotels. He could have afforded even much more. He was already extremely wealthy at the time. But he especially went back to the same... I don't understand. First of all, which normal hotel... Imagine if you have a beggar that comes, a traveler, a homeless traveler that's traveling from town to town. He comes into a five-star hotel and he says, I want to stay here in this five-star hotel. Don't forget, there's no food. It's the hero of Uretz and it costs food. It's extremely expensive. I want to stay in the hotel overnight. So how are you going to pay? Do you have a credit card number? He says, I'm sorry, I have no money at the time, but I'm planning on going to Egypt, and when I'll come back from Egypt, we'll have plenty of money, and I'll pay you back for it. What are the chances that this hotel will allow him to stay overnight? I don't think they'll allow him to stay. How come they allowed Avraham Avinu to stay? He says, we're not talking about money here. Avraham Avinu, as we said before, had one message in life: to teach everyone that we have to live with Hashem, that there's a creator, there's a Ribbono Shel Olam who runs our life. But people couldn't understand. They don't understand. You are the person who lives with the Emunah Betochen, and this is the way you look. You're a homeless person. You have nowhere to live. You have no money. You have no children. You go from town to town. And all that happens is you end up in Vahiro, Buretz. There's a famine, is it called? Famine? Famine. And this is what happens to someone who lives with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So now, Zuk the Heilige Chasam Sofer, once Avraham Avinu came out of Mitzrayim, he was heavy with kesev and zuah, with gold and silver, and bukhar v'tzoyin and shvuchas. He was extremely wealthy. And he was saved in the most unimaginable ways, in the most supernatural ways. He was saved from the house of Paroi. And this, now he wanted to come back. He says, now I'm going to go back to all those hotels and all those people who questioned and they didn't understand. Is this what happened? Someone who lives with the Ribbono Shel Olam? He said, I'm going to be pura hakefoyis, so means I'm paying back my debt, means I'm going to now give them the answer to the questions. They couldn't understand that how come someone who lives with the Ribbono Shel Olam should have something like this happen to him. But now, when he came back, he was able to tell them, yes, this is what happens to someone who lives with the Ribbono Shel Olam, that he ends up becoming fabulously wealthy, and ends up being saved in the most unimaginable ways. And with that, he was able to give an answer to all the people who questioned his living with Ribbono Shel Olam. I want to share with you a big secret now. It's a secret which I'd like you not to keep it to yourself, and you should please share it with other people also. The secret state is Sefer Ikrim, Zuktad Uvan Niflimoit. Sefer Ikrim says as follows. He says, we know that there's something called Bituchen. And we already spoke about this before, that people have Bituchen in the Ribbono Shel Olam, it definitely helps them get to salvation. Zuktad Sefer Ikrim, there's two types of Bituchen. There's the normal type of Bituchen, and then there is the more powerful type of bituchen. And he gives them names, and he says as follows. The simple bituchen is called tikvas acheset, which is someone who's waiting for salvation. He's not worthy of getting a salvation. And he tells the Ribbono Shel Olam, I know I'm not worthy, but please give me the salvation, because I need it. I need your help. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, yeah, if you throw yourself on me, and you are betayach, you trust in me, and you have faith in me, I will help you even though you're not worthy for it. That's called tikvas habetuchen. And that's a very powerful type of betuchen, but that's only level one. Zukte Sefer Ikrim, there's a second and much more powerful way of betuchen, which is called tikvas hakovit. That's what he calls it, tikvas hakovit. Which means that we have betuchen in order to create a Kiddush Hashem and to be Marbe Kavod Shemayim. And that is the thing that we mentioned before. That someone who, before he's, as he's waiting for salvation, he's constantly living with Hashem, he's living with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And then when Hashem finally sends him the salvation, that creates a Kiddush Hashem, because people see, wow, this is what happens to someone who has betuchen, someone who trusts in the Ribbono Shel Olam, he receives a salvation. So that creates an enormous Kiddush Hashem. So it's tikva. Tikva means you have hope. Because of kovod means in order to create a Kiddush Hashem, to make, to be marv kovod Shemaim. It says, David HaMelech says, Azraini elikai yeshaini, please help me, the Ribbono Shel Olam, al devar kovod shemechu. I want you to help me because I want to be marbi your kovod. I want people to see that this is what happens to someone who has betuchen, that this is what happens to him, he receives the salvation. And he says, we see, Siddur Damele says in Tehillim, Loi luni Hashem, loi luni, ki l'shimchu tayin kovod. I want you to help me, not because we are deserving of it, of the salvation, but because we want you, your kovod, to become bigger. We want to create a Kiddush Hashem in the world. Zug the Sefer Ikrim, this type of betochen is extremely, extremely powerful. He says, because the malachim can't come along and say, this person is not worthy for it. Because he's not asking for his own benefit. He's asking for the salvation in order to create a Kiddush Hashem. This type of betochen is extremely, extremely powerful, Zug the Sefer Ikrim. I'm sure some of you may have heard that this past week, there was an elections in America. I don't know if any of you know about it. And the president, the new president-elect, is called President Trump. Now, obviously, we know the B'Shem Tov says anything that happens in the world is something that we have to take something out of it. So, I'll tell you my thoughts on this whole thing. The first thing that came in mind, I'm sure everyone, the first thing we heard about Trump winning the elections is it brought us back memories from the famous Rebashkin story, the story of the Rebashkin, Reb Shulam Otto Rebashkin, who was sentenced to, I think, 27 or 29 years in prison for nothing. And he was all of a sudden, out of the blue, Trump, he gave him, he pardoned him, and he was released from prison. And I don't know, the people, I'm sure you all remember at the time, it created an enormous Kiddush Hashem. The entire world was talking about the fact that he was released from prison. And they once asked him, what was the difference between you and other people? Many people were in prison, and many people were there, had betochen also. Rebashkin says there's one difference. He decided to take the second form of betochen that we mentioned now. He says, even before he had the salvation, he was constantly talking about Hashem. Whoever he was able to talk to, he was talking about Hashem. He made even Aleph Beis Gimel, he called it Aleph Beis Gimel. Aleph stands for Emine, Beis stands for Betochen, Gimel stands for Geule. And he used to tell every single person, he used to come and visit him, he used to tell them, you should know, and we have to believe that, no, the Ribbono Shel Olam is running the world, and he's a Kol Yochel, the Ribbono Shel Olam could do anything, and he could take me out of prison, even though I've been sentenced for 29 years, and we've tried, we have appealed to the Supreme Court in America, nothing happened, nothing helped, the Ribbono Shel Olam is a Kol Yochel, he can get me out of here. And he used to send letters, there's books that came out of the letters that people used to send him, and he used to send back to people letters, and every single letter, he was constantly only talking about the Ribbono Shel Olam, talking about Hashem, and talking about the Ribbono Shel Olam as a Kol Yochel. Anyone who came to visit him, anyone who spoke to him, that was all he could. He spoke to the guards in prison. He spoke about, you should know, Hashem could take me out of it. And he walked around with the Sefer Chovei Sevuvos in his pocket. And any inmate he was able to talk to, all he said, he spoke about was the Ribbono Shel Olam as a Kol Yochel. And this way, when he finally was zeichet to a yeshia, was zeichet to be released, it created a tremendous Kiddush Hashem, because people saw, wow, this is what happened. Someone who lives with the Ribbono Shel Olam, someone who honestly believes in the Ribbono Shel Olam, someone who lives with the Minam Betuchen, this is what happens. This is what he's able to be released. And that was what created so much waves. It's only because, he says, that was that type of betuchen. Many people have betuchen, but they keep it to themselves. They don't share with other people. Whereas someone who is constantly talking about betuchen and amina, and he puts this, first of all, he has to first internalize it himself. But then once he internalizes it himself, he shares it with others, then there's much more chance that the betuchen will actually work, because he's not doing it for his own sake. He's doing it in order to be a marbe kavod shemayim. I remember thinking at the time, you know, obviously President Trump, he was instrumental in creating this Kiddush Hashem. What chus did President Trump have in order to be zoiche, to be the one who was going on this tremendous Kiddush Hashem? He must have had something he did. And I think one of the things, which I think that may be the answer to this question, is, to a certain extent, To a certain extent, President Trump, more than any other previous president in the history, constantly mentions Hashem's name. If you can hear it in all the things, they made a study. I think he mentions Hashem in all of his speeches, I think 4 times more than any other president in the history of America. That's what they made a study. In fact, when they had this victory speech this week, when they spoke, then he even mentioned Hashem. He says, God saved me from the assassination, and he saved me for a purpose. He mentioned God, and he even turned his head upwards, and he said, yeah, God saved me. And it had 70, 80, 90 million people watching this thing, and it was, and he says, almost every single rally, he constantly mentions Hashem. So obviously, it's not on the same level as a Yid. He's still a goy after all. But to that extent, could be that's why he was zoyche, that because to a certain extent, he's also mentions Hashem's name, and he also basically tells people the message that there is a God who runs the world, then maybe that's why he was zoyche to be the one who was instrumental in bringing this tremendous Kiddush Hashem when Rabashkin was released. And in fact, if I may even add this little note, you know, his victory was something which was something beyond, almost you could say supernatural. You know, here you have a person who's been convicted, I think he's been on 94 counts, and he's been convicted in 4 different states, and he's been attempted assassination 3 times, and he was impeached a number of times, and yet still he is there victorious. And that's something which is unimaginable. Could be that's also because of that, because yeah, Hashem wants to show people, if someone lives with Hashem, and someone mentions Hashem's name, and someone who looks upwards to Hashem, yeah, supernatural things happen to him. He could sometimes win the elections beyond expectations. And obviously that's only a message for us. We have to learn out from, you know, if this is what the going, the way, then us Yidden, who are the Bunim Lamukim, who are the children of the Rebbeinu Shlomo, all the more so that we could be Zoyche to all these things.
Can I just ask, how do you reconcile this, though, with the idea that reward for mitzvahs, etc., is not in this world?
Wonderful. So now that I'm going to get to that point, I think that's a very important point. So that probably answers the question we started off before, which is a good point. That why was Avraham Avinu zoyche to so many good things? Avraham Avinu, Hashem promised Avraham Avinu is going to be zoyche la'na'oschol etivoschol, is going to be zoyche to wealth, is going to be zoyche to children, is going to be zoyche to fame, is going to be zoyche to all these things. The answer is, this is not a reward. This is not a reward for the things he does. This is the Rebbeinu Shalom wanted him to be able to create a Kiddush Hashem. Since all of Avraham Avinu wanted was to create a Kiddush Hashem, so Hashem says to him, you know what? I'm going to give you all these good things so that people should see that this is what happens, that someone who lives with the Rebbeinu Shleilam, someone who's Shem Shemayim Shuvir Al-Piv, someone who constantly mentions Hashem's name, then the final result is, the end result is, that he's zoyche to all these good things. He's zoyche to wealth, he's zoyche to fame, he's zoyche to have children, he's zoyche to have is able to give bruchas to people. So it's not a schar, it's not a reward. Schar, we don't get reward in this world. It's just, if since this all the person wanted was to create a Kiddush Hashem, then Hashem gives him all these good things in order that he should be able to create a Kiddush Hashem. Because he's not doing it for his own benefit, he's doing it for the Kavod Shemayim, for the Rebbeinu Shleilam's Kovod. And this is what the Ramban says, Ma'as Ola Simla Bunim, this is something we also have to do. And this is something which every single one of us are able to do this. We're able to create a Kiddush Hashem simply by, obviously by the way we act, but more so by the way we constantly talk about Hashem, Shem Shemayim Shugir Al-Piv, which is number one, internalizing that first we ourselves should understand that everything we do is from the Rebbeinu Shalom Mizir Kol Yochol. That's number one. And then when we talk to others, especially, I mentioned this, especially when we talk to our family, because the way the parents talk to the kids, to the family, that's the way the family are going to grow up. If they grow up with a parent who constantly talks about Hashem, then it's going to have an impact on them also. I can even talk about myself. I know that I'm a simple person, but when it comes, very often I like to make these exercises, especially when I travel with my kids. I try to constantly talk about the Rebbeinu Shalom. Let's ask Hashem before we leave that we should be successful, this journey should be successful. And we see unbelievable siyata d'shmai. I can almost give out a whole book, almost every single summer holidays when we go away, just with these little things, the tiny little things that happen, but it's because we mention Hashem's name and we ask Hashem, then things just happen, things just fall into place. And you know, here you have your little things, you find parking spaces when it was completely packed, jam-packed, all of a sudden we find a parking space, we went to a place and the doors were closed, and the doors just happened to have opened the doors. I was traveling to Poland with my kids, so I was there for a 2-day trip to Poland. So we got there, almost every single place we went to, so we got to the Beis HaChaim. just after 2 minutes after closing time, the gates were closed. So, you know, he says, let's talk to Hashem. Hashem could do everything. All of a sudden, 3 minutes later, the door opens up and the woman comes out and asks the woman, do you mind if I go in? She says, no, it's already closed. So, of course, they give her $5. And that takes care of everything. And she opens up for me and I go inside and can do whatever I want. I was a quarter of an hour before I had to leave. I was in Kruke at the time. I was in Kruke and I had a quarter of an hour slot to finish davening Mincha. And I had to daven Mincha. There was no minyan. I was there already for an hour before by the Kvur, and there was no Yidin. People know there's a shul of the Remu, which is called the Remu's shul. It's become a tourist attraction with mainly going who come to visit. There was almost no Yidin there. There was one or two Yidin there, but there wasn't enough to make a minyan. We need 10 people to make a minyan. I had to daven Mincha. So we almost thought that we're going to have to daven be Yechidus. And then I told my children, you know what, we're on this Hashgacha protest trip. Let's mention Hashem's name. Let's ask the Rebbeinu Shalom. Hashem could do anything. We have another 20 minutes left before we have to leave to the airport. We still have to find the minyan. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, and not beligious, but out of the blue, an American family with four bochrim turns up. Another two Israelis backpackers turn up. And another one or two people. There we are. Hey, presto, we have a minyan. And we, on the spot, we're able to daven. 20 minutes later, we are daven mincha. But just out of the blue, we're talking about for 2 hours before, there was not a single Eden site. Boom, all of a sudden, you know, these one after the other, these things happen. That's because if you constantly mention Hashem's name, things fall into place. Because you're not doing it for your own kovod, and every simple human being like myself could do it. Because it's something we all have. It's something we all are able to access. It's not something which belongs to the tzaddikim. It belongs to the simple folk. Every simple person, all we have to do is constantly should be Shem, Shumayim, Shogir Alpini. Constantly remember in our family, in our home. And when we talk to our colleagues, when we talk to our friends, and I'll mention even more than that. Even when we talk to goyim, sometimes people are embarrassed. You know, the goy asks you, how are you doing? So when a yid asks me how I'm doing, I say, thank God, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. When the goy asks me, I said, yeah, I'm fine. No, say, thank God I'm fine. Why not? Why make a kiddush Hashem? If Trump could mention it in the speech, you could thank God. Why can't I thank God? I'm no worse than Trump. And when I talk to, even talk to goyim, constantly say, yeah, God, thank God that this is Baruch Hashem, I'm well. And please God, help me that this should happen, this should work out. Mention Hashem's name. The goyim have to know about Hashem just as much as Eden have to know. It's a chiyuv on every single goy. Shekain choyvas kol hayetzirim. Every single berry in the world has to know that there's a God and that there's a creator. And just like Avraham Avinu made it his life's mission to be mefasim kvod shemayim, the same thing, we have to make it our life's mission. We should make it our life's mission. First of all, teach ourselves that there's a Rebbeinu Shalom. Second of all, teach our children and our families that there's a Rebbeinu Shalom. Third of all, teach our Yiddish friends, and fourth of all, to teach even the goyim and every single person we come in contact, teach them there is a Rebbeinu Shalom, and then by doing that, we will easily be zoicha to all the salvations we need and all the success we need. We will be zoicha to lahana oschu, la tevoschu, we will be zoicha to bune chayim, to all the good things we need, because we're not doing it for our own benefit, we're doing it for kvod shemaim, and may the Rebbeinu Shalom help, that we should all be zoicha to alle gita hashpuas and to the Yiddish shalom b'm hayri b'mayni umay.
So why did he send him away?
So the Raman says he sent him in order to go from town to town to be mefasim kvod shemayim.
So why couldn't he stay with him? He wasn't in the country. Why couldn't he stay out there?
He said that an air caste didn't appreciate him.
They wouldn't listen to him.
So he wasn't able to get his message out. So he had to send him to a place where they could respect him. And then,
thank you. Sorry to hold back.
Right. So, since much is usually said about the earlier part of the Sedre and the Lech Lecho Me'artz Cho Mimelad Techo, perhaps it's nice to highlight the last part of the Sedre, or later on at least, where we speak about the famous Bris Bein Absurim. And the Eibishter instructed Avraham Avinu to carry out a very, how do you say, intriguing ritual of taking Eglu Meshileshes, Ve'ez Meshileshes, Ve'ayel Meshilosh, Ve'toy Ve'goizol, a range of different animals which were cut in two, and then eventually there was a bris. The Rebbein Shlom's representative of the fire went past, and Avraham Avinu was party to this bris. And the symbolic meaning behind each animal, as Rashi explains as well, but then there's also a very fascinating medrash. And medrash refers to the bird of Es HaTzipor Loi Busa, that everything was split, but the bird was not split. It remained whole. So Rashi refers to the Tzklal Yisrael, it's going to be Kayyum Lo'olam, but the medrash says, Heroloi, he showed him she mavdilin ba'oila su'of ve'ein mavdilin b'chata su'of. An obscure halucha, kochim tik halucha, something to do with korbunas. But when you take an oila su'of, when the bird is an oila, then you split it. But when it's a chatos, then you do. Wonderful. Memaila. So, what's it got to do with the Bris Ben Absurim? This was an historic event. There was some sort of prophecy here. The Rebbein Shlolem is declaring the advent of what is going to happen to Klal Yisrael. So there is a Klal that, generally speaking, if you had a Frenchman who happened to be in Uruguay and committed a very grotesque murder, that it would probably not make the papers in South America, never mind in Paris. But if that happens to Jewish people, it is very vastly different. But there's also a sense of nationalism associated with Bobby Charlton. You speak about him today in England, and you speak, this was the Englishman which was the captain in 1966. They won the World Cup. Can you imagine? Who scored? Who was the goalie? Everyone there has got a sense of nationalism. We won the World Cup. You won the World Cup. You know, many years, 60 years passed, and you're still holding on to the... Yes, England once did this. And we work on these achievements, and we're proud of them. Nationalism. But, if you think about it, Herschel Greenspan, in November 38, when he went into the embassy in Paris, and he shot Ernst von Rath to death, killed him. It was a murder because his parents were left right in the middle of nowhere and kicked out as Ostjuden from the border. But the master, you know what the ramifications were? Very shortly afterwards, Kristallnacht happened. Yidden were deported, killed, murdered, ravaged, and it was the very beginning of the onset, essentially, of World War II. So you ask a question. One single fellow went out there, and he took retribution and took revenge for something that happened to his parents. So therefore, you've got murder license en masse, wholesale. Yeah. But if you think about it, that if Albert Einstein in 1915, he discovered the theory of relativity, then you'll speak about him as a great physicist. He even won the Nobel Prize. But it's not necessarily something that's attributed to the Jewish nation. It happens to be that Albert Einstein was Jewish. The message here is very, very profound, because Lamasa, when we speak about this in the Medrash, so I heard this B'Shem Reb Meir Shapira, though it's written from others, but he said very beautifully, is that the Rebbein Shlom was telling Avraham Avinu, watch carefully because this is going to unfold in history time and time again. That Hereloi she mavdilin ba'oila su'of ve'ein mavdilin v'chata su'of. You split the bird by oila su'of ve'ein mavdilin v'chata su'of. So he touched it so beautifully. Hereloi, the Rebbein Shalom showed him, listen, we're going to now create a bris between you and I. This is going to be a forebear for the Jewish nation. This is going to tell you something about the future. So I'm warning you in advance that mavdilin be'oila su'of, when somebody is a oilo, as an off, that the head is removed and taken away, if somebody succeeds and he is ascending like he's an oila su'of, then mavdilin, we make a distinction, we make a very clear separation. The one who succeeded, he happened to be a physicist, he was very brilliant. The fact that he was Jewish, that doesn't count, because the Jewish nation doesn't contribute, so to speak, to the world's growth. But God forbid, ve'ein mavdilin mechata su'of, if one man goes and he actually assassinates a diplomat in the Paris embassy, that's caused and pretext for the whole Jewish nation to be culpable and responsible for this act of murder. And therefore, v'ein mavdilin b'chatasu of. When it's kimtsa navaire, then ein mavdilin, they don't separate. Then they say, he was Jewish, and therefore we will now implement Kristallnacht and kill 6 million Jews as a consequence. Because the kickoff was something that you and one of your nation was responsible. It's not viewed as a Masa Yuchid, but as a Masa Rabbim. So now, v'esatzipoy loy busa, says the Medrash, Heroloi, the Rebbeinu Shalem showed him, this is something which is the message I'm telling you for the future of this nation which is going to be born. Mavdilin, bo'oilasuof, v'ayin mavdilin b'chatasuof, which is a very, very beautiful, in-depth view of a Medrash. So I'll just quickly go on to something which is more, how to say, repeatable. But you say that Lot and Avraham Avinu had differences in philosophy as well, because it's known that Lot was a very greedy man. The very reason that he went out with Avraham Avinu was because he wanted to cash in on the association. And afterwards, when he had to make a choice of where he was going to live, he chose the Las Vegas of its time, which was Sodom, and he chose to go to those fertile lands. And Avraham Avinu said to him, listen, dear nephew, it's time that we part ways. Ipuret nu meyolai, we should really go different directions. Imayamin vasmi'ilu, imasmoel vaminu. Just tell me, if you look at it grammatically, it should be imtumin vasmi'ilu, imtasmoel vaspinu. It doesn't mean that. It's imayamin vasmi'ilu means just tell me the direction which you intend to go. I don't even have to wait until you pack your bags. And then vasmi'ilu, imhasmoel, all you have to tell me is that you're intending to go to the left, and I'm in the opposite direction. But the bottom line is, Lot and his henchmen and his shepherds had no compunction about going to other people's fields, stealing, taking Vaknani, Vaprizi, Osburets. Made little difference to them. After all, they already assumed ownership because Avraham Avinu has no children, so therefore, Manasseh Deim, we are the ones who are going to inherit the legacy, and we should take what belongs to us. This is the way of rationalization. But Avraham Avinu was saying to him, you think you're going to get rich by stealing. And I'm pointing out to you, like our earlier speaker said, that this is only going to cause a huge chilel Hashem. And they're going to say that Avraham is the one who's the thief, because Anushim Achim Anochli, we are similar physically, and people will mistake me for your identity. The Medrash says as follows. We learned it only very recently on... Tiger, okay, 2 minutes on page. The Medrash says as follows that the pusik which we learned on Shmini Atzeres says aser to aser, and then of course in Etzesul they learned v'zoy sabrucho when we get mshik geld from London is v'zoy sabrucho in Etzesul. That's why the two kriyas on the same day. That's the Sat Moruv said. Aser to aser is that aser b'shvil shetes asher. You give 10% and you will become comfortably wealthy. This is the theme of Masa, that Kol Kedosh es Kedosh v'yeloi, the same thing by Matnas Kehinah. Essentially, Lot felt the other way around, because he felt the more I am greedy, the more I'm going to take for myself, like in Storm. People really did not share what was theirs with anybody else, as we know. But there was a story of a man who had a field, and his father instructed him on his deathbed, this field yielded wonderful crops, 100,000 bushels a year. You give 10,000 masa, you are guaranteed you will have a good life like I had, and this field will feed you and your family, and you'll have sustenance and panusa. However, the son, after his father passed away, took the field, and after giving the first 10,000 bushels, decided, I am not donating to bank fetchers. I don't have to give money to Kolingelat and all these Kahanam Leviim and these people. They go to work. So he gave 9,000, and then next year the field only yielded 90,000 bushels, and then it went to 80,000 till he went back to 10,000. At that point, the Kahanam came to him dressed in white and they said, welcome to the club. Because till now you used to give master and I used to give, and you used to give 90%, and we used to take 10%. But you've now been reduced to the place that you're receiving only 10%, because your whole field only yields 10,000 bushels. So you become a kohen. It's nice to welcome you to the club of Kahana. Laced with an element of cynicism that drives home this message, that you have aseh b'shvil shetis asher, but you can also have asher b'shvil shetis aseh. You want to hope to become rich because you are going to reduce your expenditures for tzedakah to a tenth of what they really were. And that's a shame, because you could have earned the other 90% instead of the 10%. So where do you put the pintele? On the shein or on the seein? If it's on the right, it's a shein, but if it's on the left, it's a seein. And that's what asher b'shvil shetis aseh, or aseh b'shvil shetis asher. One was Lot's philosophy, one was Avrom's philosophy. And that's why Avraham Avinu said to him, Im hayamin v'asmi'ilu, if your daughter's on the right, point out to you v'asmi'ilu, that it should be on the left. Aseh b'shvil shetis asher. Im asmo'il v'aminu, if it's going to be asher, then it's going to be b'shvil shetaseh. Shabbos.